What are some lessons that you can use when teaching with Lego bricks? What types of Lego education kits should you buy? And what do you do when it comes to behavior management? This is part two of our Lego episodes, and we are going to be answering all those questions in today's episode.
Welcome to the Elementary STEM Coach Podcast, a show that'll help you with lesson ideas, systems, and actionable tips to apply to your classroom. I am your host, Naomi Meredith, a former classroom teacher turned current STEM teacher and coach. With over a decade of experience teaching and a master's degree in STEM leadership, I am here to coach you throughout the year to help you gain back more time to create innovative experiences for your students. Grab your earbuds and let's get started.
In the last episode, I shared with you all of the systems to set up in your classroom when it comes to using Lego bricks. It was so funny when I was planning this episode. It actually was supposed to be one whole episode, but as I was recording the systems episode, I was talking so much that I needed to break it up into two parts. I really didn't want to overwhelm you with information, and part of it is because I haven't done Lego episodes before, so I want to make sure you get all of the information so that it makes sense and it is exactly what you are looking for. So thanks for hanging out with me for this part two. I will say I did record part one and part two back to back, but in your time, you are getting it weeks apart. So thank you for being patient and ready for part two. All right. So behavior management is really important when you are teaching with Lego bricks. And when I was working for the Lego After School Club, this was so important to me because I had seen it in my own classroom. And the person that I was working for actually didn't think behavior management was that important. It wasn't a priority. It was a very interesting conversation. Also, I was working for someone who had never taught before, but behavior management really is a big part of having kids be successful when using Lego bricks. Think about your classroom setting. Not every kid likes to build with Lego bricks. They don't. There are some kids who might not have ever built with Lego bricks before. You need to have some systems in place, some rules in place, so that it can go smoothly. There are also kids who are so obsessed about Lego bricks that they are going to want to dominate the whole entire build, and they will also have a hard time collaborating. I learned this all the hard way, but I learned very quickly that having specific roles in their group is actually a game changer when you are using Lego bricks. I was watching someone when I was in this Lego After School Club who did not have roles and it was absolute chaos. There are some kids who would just sit there and not do anything, and there were kids who were dominating the whole time, and it brought me back to when I first used like Lego education kits in my classroom. I had the same situation happen, but I don't want that to happen for you. So how do you give kids roles when they're building with Lego bricks? I like to group students in groups of two or three. No more than that. If it's a group of four, it just is too much and there isn't enough for kids to do. So I will group them in groups of two or three, and they have three specific roles. And you have a builder, a finder, and a director. And very self-explanatory, but the builder will build the build. The finder is going to find the pieces. So when you look at a Lego build that has directions, it will show you what pieces you need and how many. So they are in charge of finding the pieces. And then the director is in charge of the building directions. And in the last episode, I talked about how I would like to assign the builds using a digital platform like Seesaw. Or maybe you are using a Lego education kit that already has an app and the directions are in there. So they are in charge of the technology and just making sure that everybody is doing what they need to do. They have those three roles, and I would have kids switch every 1 to 2 pages. They can decide in their group. There are some groups that will switch every single page because they need that explicit directions. But then there are other groups who they're more laid back and they're okay with switching every two pages. Or some groups might even just keep their same roles for the entire day and everybody is okay. It's really important to have these roles. Most groups need them. Some really, really need them. Some specific kids really need those explicit rules. And they might even move spots. I have seen that before. It's actually really cute. Not very efficient, but they actually might move spots when it's their turn to do their job. This helps so much. There is less fighting. It does help even out the experience. And I tell them, nobody is a master builder in here. We are all learning how to collaborate and do our best job. So it's okay if you've built a lot of Legos, but you're not going to build the whole thing by yourself. That's not what we do in here. So these jobs are really, really helpful. If you are getting into a Lego build that actually has some coding involved, the roles actually change. So I have different roles for this, and this actually goes a lot along with just robotics and how I do coding, which we'll talk about in other episodes as well. I do have that planned, but as I record, things grow and change, but that is in my plan in this series. But when they get to the coding part, if that is something your Lego education kits use, there is a driver, a navigator, and a robot wrangler. And this is called paired programming. So you can actually talk about this with your kids. But the driver is the one who is going to be driving the actual device, the computer, and putting the code up on the screen. It doesn't mean they have to know how to code. Everybody can help and be involved and talk about the code. They're just the one touching the computer. The navigator is checking the code to make sure that everything is where it should be and everything's connected before they press play. And the robot wrangler is in charge of the robot, and they have to make sure the robot is set up before the code is going, and then they have to go get the robot if it ends up somewhere, if it's a moving robot. If you do have robots that roll, some of the builds might do that. I recommend having the robot on the floor. Do not put them on the tables. Sometimes the kids will make them go really fast. They'll fall off. Their build goes everywhere. There's pieces all over the floor. They're crying. They're yelling. They're screaming. Put the robot on the floor. Back to the building piece. I didn't mention this, but there will be times when kids can't find a piece. The newer the kits, the less problems you have. The more kids you have using kits, the more pieces go missing. So I do put these roles in place where if you can't find a piece, what are you going to do? I give them those strategies of what to do when you can't find a piece. And you might think, oh, I don't need to do this. You do, because they're going to ask you the same thing. I can't find it. So let me tell you what I tell them and then something about that. Here are the strategies I tell kids if they cannot find a piece. First is to look in the big part of the bin. If you haven't seen a Lego education kit before, they come in these big bins, and there's usually some sort of tray on top that can be removed and actually placed inside of the lid so it doesn't slide around. But there's a bottom part, and sometimes some pieces end up down there. So kids need to look. Did you check in the big part of the bin? The next one is ask another group. Sometimes another group might accidentally have their piece. They might just have one extra. And so they need to ask another group politely. The other groups can say yes, the other groups can say no, but they are allowed to ask, not take. Also, another strategy if they can't find a piece is to check the spare parts shelf. And in the last episode, I talked to you all about the spare parts shelf and how I get that all organized. And if the kids try all three strategies, all three, they have to try all three, and they still can't find the piece, they have to problem solve and use a related piece that can complete the task. I would give kids this example when I was remodeling my townhome. I use this example a lot. But when I was remodeling my townhome, and if I tried all these strategies and I still couldn't do something, I had to figure it out. I couldn't go whine to my parents and say, figure it out for me. And I also would tell the kids, do you see on here, do any of these say, go whine at Miss Meredith and tell her you can't find a piece? And they're all, no. I'm like, exactly. So it doesn't say, go tell Miss Meredith I can't find it. I probably can't find it either. If you did all these things as a group and you still can't find it, I probably can't find it. And that really helps too with their independence. I didn't have kids following me around the class like a baby duck. I said, I'm not your mommy. You're not my baby ducks. That they weren't following me and telling me they can't find a piece. Sometimes if I was talking with them, I might know where one is. But overall, kids knew to not ask me where a piece is. I probably can't find it. When you're building with the Lego bricks, and let's say you do have the opportunity for kids to continue their builds day after day, what I would have them do is write their names on a sticky note, put the sticky note on the top of their lid, put their build on top of it, and then any extra pieces go inside. And then I had some shelves in my classroom where they could put all their builds. It looked a little bit messy, but whatever, it all worked out okay. When I had my Lego after school clubs, kids actually had to take apart their builds every single day because I was taking the kits to a new school every day. And so they did have to deconstruct. I did not give them roles in that. They just had to all help out and make sure everything was where it needed to go. When we had the big Duplo blocks, and I did mention this in the last episode, they had to take apart their builds because they were quick challenges and more creative challenges. They did have to take them apart and then sort them by color. One thing you can add in if you want to do this once a week or if you have different kids every day is I would have the kids, I did this in my Lego after school club because they got really good at building because they're doing it every week. I actually had the kids check a color. So in Lego education kits, the newer kits are sorted by color. And so each day had a different color that they were responsible for. So my Monday group had to go through the blues and make sure all the blues were there and check all the numbers and put back any extras and make sure they got the spares that they were missing. Tuesday was responsible for the black pieces. Wednesday was responsible for the green. So that was a really great way to make sure the inventory was pretty good in the kits. And overall, they had most of the pieces. So I wasn't sitting at home and going through them. So that's a great strategy. You can do that once a month. Or maybe if you have kids, like maybe you're not using Lego education kits, then maybe you have some kids who come in from recess and help you organize throughout the week. Again, so you're not doing it. And kids actually are really fast at it and enjoy the process. All right, in terms of lessons, what kinds of lessons should you use and what kits to buy? So these are going to go back and forth. If you are thinking about Lego education kits specifically, you can actually get started on their website and you can see the different types of kits they have available and you can actually browse through the lessons that are already there. There's not a whole ton, but there is enough where it will give you questions to think about. There are videos to show them in action. Some of the kits have related science activities that can go with them. And then you can also, again, find those PDF versions of the builds in case you needed to print any or use them to assign digitally like I did in Seesaw. I'm going to go through the different types of kits that I used. And I ended up using the lessons that went with these kits. I didn't really create my own when it came to Lego education kits, because there were some already good ones out there. And so when it comes to my K-5 STEM year-long plan, when you see Lego education kits on there, those are not things that I made up myself. Out of all the things, coding and Lego education kits are the units that I didn't create from scratch because there's already resources out there that were really good. In kindergarten, I had the opportunity to get the STEAM Part Express kits. And I did sort all the pieces by color, so I talk more about that in the part one of this little Lego episode saga. And I had those sorted by color, and every day was a different challenge. And you can kind of see on the Lego education website where they're building a different part of the amusement park. And you talk about different things with simple machines and force and motion. And what's really cute about this, it's more exploratory for your youngest students. There is a picture where kids can replicate what's on the picture. So if it's an amusement park ride, kids can try to find the pieces to build that. There aren't step-by-step directions. It's more exploratory. Or kids can design their own ride that is related. A lot of kids actually really wanted to build what's on the screen as a starting place, and then they would add on, which was really, really cool. I did, by the end of my 5 years, have enough Lego education kits where every single grade level had a different kit. I did use older kits, which was really awesome. But you may or may not have that opportunity. So I have heard of people use Lego kits throughout the year. And so maybe everybody is doing robotics with different types of robots, but maybe fifth grade is using the Lego education kit. And then maybe you're moving on to 3D printing, and then fourth grade is using a kit. So if you don't have enough, but you want to still plan thematically, but sometimes one group might be off by a unit just based on the materials that you have. In first grade, I use the discontinued Lego We Do 1.0 kits. And if you've seen these before, there's a lot of yellow and red bricks. And the actual build plugs into a computer with a USB cord. And then you have to download the software on the device. The software actually still worked. There was a lot of blocks on our computers at my school, so I couldn't go and download them on all the devices. But the builds were actually still really good. In second grade, I did a Simple Machines kit. Those are also discontinued, and they actually moved by using Simple Machines, so there wasn't any coding involved. This kit was actually really good, and I love the connections with Simple Machines. We would talk about a different Simple Machine every day. So this one was a really fun one, and they started adding on and creating other things while they were building, so I wish they still had that kit because I really liked that one. In third grade, we did the Lego We Do 2.0. So it has the popular Milo, the science rover. That's usually one of the first builds that you do. There's a lot of blue and green pieces, and it's that skinny blue case. That one is discontinued as well. Again, it's such a great kit. A lot of classrooms have these. That was one of my first STEM experiences, actually. And what's really interesting is Lego actually took away the app, and then people got upset, and then they put the app back. But as far as I have read, the app is going to be discontinued completely in August 2024. You are able to connect your WeDos to Scratch. So that's really awesome where you have that option where you can do that type of block-based coding. And it is a little more challenging in a good way. The coding is very, very simple for the WeDo 2.0s, but the kits are awesome. There are limited challenges, so if you do need more challenges, I did write different versions of kinds of builds that you can use with Lego WeDo 2.0. I have in my membership, the STEM Teacher Bookshelf, as a bonus, all of the builds, and there are some others I need to add, but different bonus builds that you can use with WeDo 2.0, and also some easier challenges for your younger students and some harder challenges for your older students. So I'll link that in the show notes. It's a bonus, $9 a month. If you don't want to do all the reading in the bookshelf, but just join for the Lego WeDo challenges, that's a great option. In fourth grade, I had the BrickQ Motion Prime. There are two different BrickQ kits. I had the older one. This one was really cool because it was about force and motion when it comes to sports. And it was a lot of winter sports, not all winter sports, but it was super cool because they, again, these builds didn't move with coding. They moved with different types of motion in sports. And there are some cool little experiments to try with all of them that are on their website. For the younger kids, I have had friends in my district when I worked there have this kit, but it's the BrickQ Essential Kit, Motion Essential. And that kit is really awesome too. Again, they move by different sports, so different than the older kids, and a lot of fun there. So those two kits are cheaper because there isn't any electronics for that. They're not considered robotics because there isn't any coding involved. But it is fun to mix it up. And if you're looking for a place to start for kits, those are great because you might be able to afford those a lot easier. And for my fifth graders and for my Lego After School Club, I use the Lego Spike Essential kits, which come in those big yellow buckets, and coding is involved. I did more challenging projects with my fifth graders, but when I did this as a Lego After School Club, K through five could definitely do the challenges. If you pick more of the simple challenges, even for the older kids, it works great. You can just do one day challenges. If you really only have different kids every day, you can build, take apart every day. If you have older students like 6, 7, and 8, the Lego Spike Prime kits are really great for that one. There are more of the Lego Technic pieces and more complicated coding, which is really great. Which also, Lego Spike Essential has more icon block coding and more of the traditional like scratch coding. And you can switch between the two. I do know with the other kit, it's a little more complicated in a good way. So if you're trying to decide between which kit is which, the Spike Essential is for elementary, the Spike Prime is for the older, like beyond elementary. Now, if you are someone you're like, I cannot afford Lego education kits, that is something that's not going to be happening. That is okay. You can still use those mixed bricks. That is definitely a possibility. And a big thing I like to tell teachers is when you are planning with mixed bricks of Legos, you actually plan it just like a makerspace lesson. Your medium is just Lego bricks and not recycled materials. So think about that when you're planning your lessons. You can definitely do very similar things. You can also think about STEM and stories lessons where you are building to solve the problem that is related to the book. I have a bunch of lessons for you to get started separate from my K-5 STEM year-long plan, but different lessons that you can use to get started. And those are actually really great for sub-plans. Also, if you want to do a STEM station with mixed Lego bricks, I have some engineer inspiration boards that are thematic for different holidays throughout the year or different months. And kids can see those items, choose what they want to build, and build how they want to represent it with the Lego bricks. So that's a great challenge to keep the building purposeful. It's not exactly a free build, but they have a small challenge they have to solve and then represent it with their bricks. Along with that, you can also try some task cards. And that is a new line that I am coming out with. I have a really fun one that I did that really connects well with my STEM Career Quest podcast for kids. And it's all about insects and spiders because my first guest interview was with entomologists, scientists who study bugs. And each of the task cards are how to build and represent something. One of my favorite ones, because I had just learned about this, is an insect hotel where it's actually a safe place for natural insects in your garden or backyard to have a home. And it's to help really help pollinators and really help the life cycle of bugs. So students can learn more about an insect hotel and how to build that. But that's just one of 20 challenges that are in those cards. So Legos are a great way to build these small challenges, but also they can take them apart at the end. They could take a picture in Seesaw, but just a really great way to have those reusable items. If Lego education kits are not a possibility, or maybe they are, and you just want to use those in a different way. In this episode, we talked about that behavior management when it comes to using Lego bricks in your classroom and different types of kits and lessons that you can focus on. If you haven't already, go and check out part one where I talk more about the systems and routines in relation to Lego bricks in your classroom. But I appreciate you being here on this journey. If you love the jobs that I was talking about in here, you're like, oh my gosh, those are amazing. They are amazing. Let me tell you, they're a game changer. I have all of those roles inside of my STEM Teacher 101 course where I talk about different jobs and why they're important when working on STEM projects, not just Lego bricks, but those posters are in there for you. They're actually not in my shop at this time of this recording, but they're in there for you. They're ready to go, kid-friendly, color, and black and white. And you can use them when you use Lego bricks in your classroom. Thank you so much for being here, and I will see you in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Elementary STEM Coach Podcast. I would love to connect with you over on Instagram at @NaomiMeredith_, or send me an email to elementarystemcoachpodcast@gmail.com. Also, make sure to check out my website, NaomiMeredith.com, to see all the show notes from today's episode and shop my K-5 STEM resources. Any questions you have, needs for resources, or ideas for episodes, get in touch. I'll talk to you soon.